for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, that on this rock, what's the rock? You are the Christ, Son of the living God. On that rock, that bedrock of truth, I will build my church. Notice he didn't say, I will build religious systems and denominations and churches and congregations and mega churches and smaller churches. He said, I will build my church. Right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So let's continue to explore and explain five ways cultural Christianity is different and should be different than biblical Christianity. We talked about number one, anyone can be a cultural Christian. Secondly, cultural Christianity is convenience. Thirdly, our third point today, cultural Christianity is more about outward, here it is, appearance. It's more about outward appearance. This is my first point of discussion. That cultural Christianity embraces performance. Yeah. It focuses on the external, on the outer appearance, on works, on deeds, on behaviors and actions that look appropriate and good. It focuses on looking good while doing well without actually being good. They are socially and religiously exhibitionists. They want to be heard and they want to be seen for all the good that they do in society. There are people who display pleasantries. They pay it forward. They announce to others, look at the good that I am doing. They perform random acts of kindness. They are trying to create a place or a state of things where everything is perfect. Cultural Christians view their good works, beloved, and deeds as a sign of righteousness before God. They are religious performers. They know how to say it, sing it, walk it, talk it, but they really don't believe it. The cultural Christian might even attend church on occasions and promote religious syncretism, a belief that all religions teach the same thing. Let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, 9 through 14 is the parable of the Pharisee. And the Pharisee is an example of a first century religious performer. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, in their own abilities, their own religious standing before God. They had an assessment about their spirituality that they thought was transcendent, that they thought God would take note of. So Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in God. They trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. That's amazing. The cultural Christian can appear outwardly to be spiritual and righteous, but inwardly they're not. Jesus said two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a tax collector. They called him a sinner, a publican. And the Pharisee was standing by himself praying thus, God, now notice he was praying to himself, God, I thank you. And he's going to practice a lot of what we call comparisons. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. But now he's comparing himself to other people. Extortioners. I'm not an extortioner. They are. Unjust. I'm not unjust. They are. Adulterers. I'm not an adulterer. They are. Or even like this tax collector. The tax collector is in the temple with him. He said, one who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Oh, that's beautiful. Beloved, cultural Christianity is outward appearance only. How you look, how you dress, how you sound, how you smell, what you drive, where you live, who you associate with, it's all external. It's all social status. It's all peacocking. It's playing the game. It's acting successful even when you're not. It's being somebody when you're not that somebody you're trying to be. It's perpetrating a fraud. But they do it so well. They sound so spiritual. They sound so knowledgeable. They look so blessed. But they're not. Because they're not in alignment with God. Look at Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. This is the same context we're in here. We're talking about hypocrisy. We're talking about people who fake it until they make it. Those are cultural Christians. They're religious, but not righteous. They're ceremonial, but they're not converted. They're the C and E Christians. You know those, that group? They come to church on Christmas and Easter. C and E. I think somebody... Oh, yeah, the CME. That group, the CME. You know, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. They'll show up on those days. But listen to what Jesus says about that. Jesus said in Matthew 23, 27, 28, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, pretenders. You're just mere actors. You're performing a role you don't even possess. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead man's intimacy with your mind and your will and your emotions. It's an experiencing of God's life in you by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Biblical Christianity is a personal relationship. The fourth way that cultural Christianity is different than biblical Christianity. Cultural Christianity is selective regarding belief in the Bible. When culture and Christianity clash, the cultural Christian adjusts his or her worldview to accommodate the world. Whatever offends the world offends the cultural Christian. Whatever offends God does not offend the cultural Christian. Cultural Christians cherry-pick the Bible. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it? They cherry-pick the Bible. They choose verses that appear to be non-offensive over those that appear offensive. And that's just a matter of taste and perspective, isn't it? What's offensive and what's not offensive? When the directives of the Bible and the Bible don't line up with what the culture says, the cultural Christian go along with the culture. They go along with abortion. They go along with sexual immorality as a law. They go along with a redefinition of marriage. They go along with all the things that God speaks against. And then some who claim to be Christians in the church go along with it. As our nation, I mean America, as it drifts further away from biblical truth, a socially acceptable brand of Christianity is emerging. Cultural Christianity allows people to be religious without being seen as fanatical. you do in the end is just damage the edges of the page. When people force God into their mold, the result is a damaged view of God. 1 Peter 1, 14-16 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your behavior. Since it is written, some text, as it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God told us to love, but he never told us to be loving. He told us to be holy. That's important. Because holiness is the essence of God's being. Look at a bicycle wheel. Spikes moving around the wheel, but in the middle, the hub. That hub holds all the spikes of that wheel because that hub is its core. Right? Without the core, the spikes don't have anything to hold or to adjust themselves to. That's the holiness of God. Love, mercy, peace, justice, righteousness, omnipotence, all that is tied to his holiness. So if God's character in his core is holy, then his love is holy. It ain't like your love. His justice is holy. Holy justice. His peace is holy peace. His righteousness is holy righteousness. You know what I'm saying? You've got to see the whole essence of God, the full orb view of God to know God. Not just to focus on one of his attributes at the dismissal of the other attributes that you don't like. We've got to take his justice and judgment and wrath along with his love, mercy, and grace. They're all holy. Whenever God acts, he acts in a holy manner with holy motives. So a twisted view of Scripture will give you a damaged view of God. Thirdly, see, a damaged view of God will give you a distorted view of sin. See, cultural Christians view personal sin as a normal part of life. Beloved, there are many Christians who've been surveyed by Barna Research that many people who claim Christianity in America, a large percentage believe that Jesus sinned because Jesus was human. That's a lack of reading of Scripture. Most families have at least 2 or 3 Bibles at home. And they're just collecting dust. But if you just read a cursory reading of Scripture, you will know that Jesus, there was no fault found in him. No one claimed him to be a sinner. Other than the Pharisees and the scribes, people didn't like him. Most of the people viewed him as holy, a righteous man, a prophet. But he was never characterized as sinful. When you have a twisted view of Scripture, you have a damaged view of God that will lead to a distorted view of sin. So they tolerate it, they ignore it, and even joke about it. After all, they justify, God knows I'm not perfect. You heard that before? Have you said it before? This attitude carries others to carries over to others as well. Since cultural Christians are heavily influenced by what people think, they often remain silent out of fear of being canceled. You know, this is a cancel culture we live in. They're afraid of being canceled for being intolerant or offensive. They do seem to speak up on one issue, those who speak up regarding biblical truth. Those people are quickly labeled as judgmental. If you make a judgment in this society about anything that's going on, judgmental, I mean, that's going to be your scarlet letter, right? It's not going to be a red A, right? It's going to be a red J. Judgmental, judgmental, judgmental. And you're making an ethical and moral distinction between right and wrong, and they call that judgmentalism. Well, then why are you saying that what happened in these shootings is evil? This is the same society that's feeding us the garbage. but I chose you